Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Second and goal of the Jet 3. Ready? Inside handoff to Green. Ellis to the left. He's going to go charging in the end zone. Touchdown. And hit at the goal line and flipped up and over. Second touchdown rushing of the game for Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and the Patriots go 77 yards.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another Tuesday edition of the Pete Shepherd Show from 4 to 6. First one this week here, also Wednesday and Thursday. And man, oh man, have we got a lot to talk about today. Wow, I am jacked and pumped and revved up, and I'm pissed. I'll tell you why in a couple of minutes. I am sick and tired of it. I'm not pissed at that or them. I'm pissed at a lot of stuff that I hear from some fans and from a lot of media people who I just don't know when they started watching football, but it is just unbelievable. First, all the good stuff, which is the Patriots and their win over the Jets. I said 34-19. It was 30-21. Close enough for me. That's fine. Patriots get the job done. And, it was a game that went almost exactly the way I thought it would go. No question about it. I told you the balanced attack would happen the same way it would against the Raiders. If you think that's going to be the case this Sunday against Dallas, I think you're going to be sadly mistaken, because you're going to see a lot more throwing the ball again. But to the Patriots-Jets game, the way they played that game, I told you it's stuck in Brady's craw, and certainly he's had better games before, but he still had a very, very good game, 24-33 for 321 yards, and a touchdown. I know he's
pissed. Everyone sucks but me.
I know he's pissed because they left points on the field. And I understand that. And I know he was exhausted, and that's what happens. And I heard his weekly segment on Dennis and Callahan earlier this week, or yesterday. And I don't blame him. None of these guys are going to be all cheery just because they win a game. They're not going to just sit up there, you know, every single week and, you know, tell you how great they are. You know, I really think he's upset because they didn't score at least another 10 points. He hates to leave points on the field. Tom Brady does not like field goals inside the red zone. And I want a guy like that, obviously. But that aside, I mean, that stuff is secondary. I thought the defense showed absolute signs of progression, no doubt about it. And a lot of that had to do with the Jets. And I told you guys all last week, I watched every single snap the Jets have had this year, and they're lucky to have won a game. They really are. They're just not that good. They are not talented enough to overcome any type of mediocre quarterback play, as I was telling you. And they're just not that good a team. And I would have been stunned if the Patriots had lost that game on Sunday. Now, when they play again in 5 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever it is, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a little bit more competitive game in New York, depending on injuries and all that stuff. What happens, but I think overall you have to be impressed without the paint, even without, you know, Mayo on the field. I mean, guys like Guyton, Fletcher stepped it up, and you just saw a lot of good things there. Haynesworth, even when he was on the field, I thought did a really good job. I thought the Jets had, even though they, you know, the running game looks, see, the numbers are deceiving. The score is deceiving because the game was not really a 9-point game. It was more like a 15, 16 point game, but ended up being a 9-point game. But I also think that the New York Jets rush attack was somewhat of a mirage. You know, even though the numbers look okay on average for Green, 83 yards on 21 carries. And there were a couple of slip-ups on special teams by the Patriots. But other than that, it really wasn't. The Jets weren't going to win. They're just not. The Jets are just not that good. Plain and simple, just not that good. All right, a lot to talk about today with this game, looking ahead. But the one thing before we get to the, we got people lined up on the phones already, and that's great. You can get to me on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Of course, you can Facebook me at Pete Shepherd, PETSHEPPARD. I already got a lot of questions up on Facebook. I promise I'm going to read all of them and respond to all of them. I just want to say this, because a few of them I haven't read. Sometimes I choose not to read them beforehand because I like it to be spontaneous. But I keep hearing, I don't know if it's me. Maybe it's me. I'm trying not to be like oversensitive about this crap, but I guess I am in a way. Because I just don't know how much not some of you guys, but some of the mainstream, I mean, everybody, how many NFL games do you guys watch besides the Patriots? And I'm saying that to the general media as well. And I say this because, again, I'll bring up the Packers, who are a great team. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. You know, he and Brady are so far ahead of everybody else, it's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Okay? And Rodgers is as humble as Brady is. He's just a terrific pleasure to watch and all that stuff. Now, the Packers defense, just so, again, so you know, and the Packers played on Sunday night as well. On average, the Patriots are averaging giving up 24 points a game. The Packers are giving up 23. And I still don't see where this high profile of an analysis is being directed towards Green Bay. I mean, there are places in Wisconsin, some people are, and they're worried about that. And again, I'm not knocking their defense because I'm telling you, this is what the league is. The days of giving up for an entire season, like under 22 or under 23 points a game for a whole season, those days are done. Not going to happen on the most part. It's not going to happen. And some of the teams that are giving up low scores, whatever, they're lousy teams. Well, not playing all that well. Right now, five games into the season. But now here's what I heard today. From fans and media alike. Sunday's game, the Patriots, quote, listen to this, won the right way. What the hell does that mean? Now people are upset or happy that they ran the ball and threw the ball for the last 2 weeks, basically an even amount of time. Fine. Why does it matter? Why are we so obsessed with how they win? And I keep hearing, and the other thing that people make a huge mistake about is that, well, we don't care about the regular season and they have to wait and see what they do in the playoffs. That is crap too. You cannot compare year after year after year after year. Everything is different. Every team is a little different. All you gotta do is look at the Detroit Lions this year, and I'm still not sure how good they are. I'm still not sure how good they are. But they are what they are, which is 5-0, as one coach that used to coach here said. But I am confused about sexiness of wins because people don't seem to be satisfied one way or the other. They're either supposed to win 40-10 or 38-10. When they don't, when they have a balanced attack, people aren't satisfied with the score. And it's unbelievable to me. And I keep saying, and I'm stressing time and time again, how difficult it is to win a game in the NFL. If you ever questioned, any of you out there ever sat there in front of an NFL player and started talking about sexiness of wins or winning quote unquote the right way, they'd punch you out. There's no, a win is a win, to quote the legendary Al Davis, just win, baby. Who gives a damn how it's being done? Now, are there times that you want to see the game, them grind out the last couple of minutes like they did on Sunday? Yes, and there are times you're going to see that. We've seen it before. And there are other times where you're not going to see that. All depends on the game plan and what's going on. Against certain teams, they will have the potential to do that. I just so frustrating sometimes to hear how spoiled this whole area has gotten. There are no great defenses in the NFL. There just aren't. And I don't know why most people just can't get that through their heads. Those days are over with. And people keep hearing broadcasters and, you know, this still isn't a championship caliber defense. Who is? Green Bay? No, but they do it. I mean, yes, it is a championship defense. They're the defending champions and they're giving up 23 points a game. Ask me if I give a damn. They're a great team. The Patriots are giving up 24 points a game. They're a great team, in my opinion. Two could very well end up beating in the Super Bowl. Still picking New Orleans. But certainly, most people are looking at the Patriots in Green Bay right now. New Orleans has given up more points than the Patriots. Arguably, to my opinion, the third best team in the league. You're going to put the Packers first right now because Packers, Patriots, and New Orleans. To me, those are the three best teams in the league. The vaunted Philadelphia Eagles defense. Where's that? San Francisco? Dallas? Now, Dallas' rushing numbers look good on paper, but again, look at the competition. Look who they played. They're number one against the run. Now, I promise you, I think they gave up 64 yards a game. Hang on a second. I got it right here. I think Dallas is giving up 64 yards a game. Something like that. I promise you the Patriots will rush for more than 64 yards against them on Sunday. I don't even worry about that garbage, that net yardage crap that I talk about all the time. But, I mean, why can't – and I'm not saying you can't criticize or you can't critique or have constructive criticism, all that stuff. I'm just wondering now, where is everybody at? Because if they win a game like yesterday, John got some emails from some people, then the offense looked quote-unquote boring. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's just so ridiculous. Ridiculous. And then if they win the way they've won a few games this year, throwing the ball all over the place, is what you're going to see again on Sunday, by the way, then they're not winning quote-unquote the right way. When I hear they're not winning, quote, the right way, that just goes right through me. You know, it's like bad Chinese food. That's how I feel about it. Right to the toilet. Excuse my colloquialism there, but that's how I feel. I just don't know how many games around the league everybody's watching. Or if you have the Red Zone channel or you don't, or what is going on. But I don't know how, as a Patriot fan, you cannot be impressed with that win on Sunday. They went out, they took care of business, did what they had to do. They beat a big-time rival and his big fat mouth, even though he didn't mouth off much last week. And now they're going to deal with his brother this week, Rob Ryan, the DC of the DCs. And what you're going to get this week, and this will be the big trap again, because it'll be because Rob Ryan was with Cleveland last week, and now he will have, here we go again, the blueprint to beat the Patriots. That'll start tomorrow, trust me. That'll start tomorrow. Won't take into consideration that every year is different. It'll just be they're going up against Rob Ryan, and he knows how to beat the Patriots. He knows how because he did it last year at Cleveland when the Patriots played maybe the worst game in 2 years in the regular season. So people will automatically assume that that's going to be the blueprint. Mark my words, it's all coming. It's so freaking predictable, it's scary. But you and I both know that's not the way the NFL works, because I know you guys are listening to me, most of you, and can understand that every single game is going to be different. There's the trends don't work much anymore. Ask the Bears how those trends worked on Monday night. They had won the last six against Detroit and 10 of the last 12. How'd that work out? Now, granted, they should have covered at the last part of the game.
That is known as
the Bears. Yeah.
The Bears.
And I can't believe I'm going to say what I'm about to say, Kevin. I actually felt badly for Jim Cutler last night. I don't know how he survived that game, which is a sloppy game.
He got banged around real good.
Banged around.
Yeah.
I don't know how he made it through.
He didn't even have like two Mississippi to get rid of the ball.
I don't know how he made it through. Now, and I've seen a lot of Bears games this year too. And, you know, some of the time I do think he doesn't get rid of the ball, but I didn't think that was the case last night.
No, those.
He made the plays that he made. The plays that he made were spectacular.
The Lions,
should have been sacked.
The Lions' front was just getting off the ball was amazing.
The Bears' offensive line should be in a crap contest with the Eagles' offensive line to see, you know, who could crap out the worst. Who can get you? That should be a new theme in the NFL this year. What offensive line can get your quarterback killed first? The Eagles or the Bears? I gotta go with the Bears. The Eagles are close, but I gotta go with the Bears. The Eagles, by the way, another fraud team. Another fraud team. Kev, if we can, we gotta get the play-by-play. Have you heard the last seconds of the Eagles-Bills game? If you can find that, it is absolutely hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. But those are just like, you know, how John Rook has his little nitpick. My nitpicks is about, you know, this pass or fail type of stuff. And, you know, there's no gray area at all, it seems, with the New England Patriots for a lot of people. Not everybody, but a lot. But when I hear stuff about them winning the right way or not winning the right way, that kind of stuff, it is just BS. You know what's funny? I go back and think about this. Those of you probably remember in 2007. So, you know, they're destroying everybody, right? Then all of a sudden, that Baltimore Monday night game, then it's kind of close. And then the Philadelphia game was close. And people start talking like, people are catching up to the Patriots, catching up. And I'm saying, and we're all, you know, anybody knows anything about the games going, what do you mean they're catching up? It's hard to keep beating teams by 20, 30 points every single game. Of course teams are going to be close. So then they end up, I think they kick butt the last two games of the season. We saw, remember the Giant game when they scored all those points in the second half, coming from behind by 12 late in the game. And they beat up somebody else pretty good down the end of the season. So they get to the playoffs in 2007. Remember this? So now they start doing what everybody wants, what a majority want them to do, which is, I quote unquote, I guess, win the right way with a more balanced attack. Jacksonville comes here, and this is the two games that Lawrence Maroney, well, I'll always remember him for, because he had two great games against Jacksonville and San Diego Chargers come here. Yes, they were banged up, but the Patriots basically ran the clock out that entire game. They didn't throw the ball all over the place because it wasn't the game plan for that day. Lawrence Maroney almost single-handedly with that offensive line took out the Chargers the last 9 minutes of the fourth quarter. It was unbelievable. But now, then they got to, remember they got to the Super Bowl. I remember being in Phoenix all that week. And then you start to hear, well, you know, they're only beating Jacksonville by this amount, and they barely beat the Chargers who were banged up. What is it? I mean, what, I don't understand why we have to overanalyze every game that way. Everything is different. Every game is different.
For all those people complaining about a win, Pete.
Yeah.
Your team could have done this.
Oh, is this it?
Fitzpatrick under center. Still calling. Hasn't gotten the snap yet. Still calling. Still calling. Eagles jump! They jump! Jaquari Parker jumped and just cost the Eagles their last chance. That's what they were doing. They weren't going to run a play. They were just going to...
Well, I knew that.
We knew it. They weren't going to run a play. The Eagles just gave them the game.
Why they pay me the big bucks?
I forget his name, Phil. He's been there forever. He's like their Gil Santos. What's it? He's been there forever. I gave them the game. Oh, lovely.
His name is Merrill Reese.
Oh, Merrill Reese. Merrill Reese. Yes, he's been with the Eagles. You know, forever. That is gave them the game, lovey.
It
sounds like Thurston Howell the third. Gave them the game, lovey. Can you believe it? A ghost.
We're waiting.
Oh, unbelievable. Well, as you can see, I'm kind of revved up, and I haven't even gotten to some of the emails yet, and I know there's people going to be waiting on the phone as well, but I just had to get that stuff off my chest because, I mean, just people, when they win a game, just don't go crazy one way or the other that if they should have done this or when they get to the playoffs, they might do that. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't give a damn at all about this regular season. All they're going to care about is getting to the playoffs and see what happens. And I understand some of that. I understand it. But it's not like, you know, every year is different. People say, oh, yeah, they lost three playoff games in a row. Okay. Including the Super Bowl, which took three, as I've said a million times, took three miracle giant plays to win. Okay. Then the Baltimore game was just a debacle from the opening kickoff. That was a debacle. They had lost Wes Welker the day before. That was more about, and Baltimore, I'm not taking anything away from them because they deserve to win that game. But that was a very sort of unique set of circumstances there. And certainly the Patriots have won postseason games in the past without being completely healthy. No question about it. I understand that. But that was such, they were deflated going into that game. And that was to me a very extreme set of circumstances. And then last year against the Jets is no excuse. I mean, they weren't humiliated, but that's a game that they absolutely should have won. They let the Jets walk all over them in the second half after the Crumpler dropped a touchdown pass, which I still say would have changed everything. But again, that doesn't mean all that's going to carry over to this year. All right, let's get to the phone calls at the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can also email me, webradio@patriots.com, and Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. And first up today on the Pete Shepard Show is Mike in California. Hi, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Pete? How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
A hell of a lot better since we shut the mouth up for a little bit.
Yeah, well, he didn't do a lot of yapping this week, you know. He really didn't. He did his little cutesy little thing with the Hall of Fame jackets and all that crap. And I think his act is already becoming very tiresome in New York.
Yeah, true too. Hey, I wanted to, you know, everything you said in the beginning about, you know, these cats on the media kind of getting on your nerves a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that because they've been pissing me off for the past 48 hours because I'm tired of this. What I'm hearing now everybody on the NFL Network, at least not nearly everybody on the NFL Network that I keep seeing, now they're saying this ridiculous crap about how the Bills are now going to take the AFC East. It's a definite.
That's ridiculous. I still don't know if the Bills are going to make the playoffs. I'm serious about that. I don't know if the Bills will make the playoffs. There's still something about that team. I don't know. I think they're being handed wins left and right. There's no way the Eagles should have lost that game on Sunday. Not just because it was my miraculous pick of the week, the first one that's ever lost this year. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, they are what they are. But they're 4-1. They lost to the Bengals. I'm still not sure if Buffalo's going to be there in the end.
I don't think so either. But the thing that kills me is, I guess they haven't figured out yet. Whenever you say stuff like this, you know, the Pats can say whatever they want. I know they listen to this crap. And whenever they say that crap, all you do is wake the sleeping giant.
I agree.
That's all you do.
And it works. Just it can work. And the antithesis of that too is the nightmare team in Philadelphia, the Eagles. I mean, all that crap of Vince Young and the dream team and all that stuff, and guys start talking about it amongst themselves over there. Can you imagine if anybody ever made up a nickname dream team over here and they started talking about it during press conferences, what would happen? I mean, they'd get destroyed. And I mean, the Eagles are, I mean, just atrocious.
You're right. You're right. I mean, there would be, the heads would roll. But what I'm saying is, these cats running their mouths on the NFL Network. I'm telling you now, it's going to be Brady. I'm telling you right now, Brady will probably reach in his bag, pull out a whole wad of their own kryptonite, and destroy the entire league with it. I'm telling you now, I can't wait to see him do it.
Well, I mean, the Patriots are going to be tough to beat for the rest of the year. They're going to be tough. I tell you that right now. But again, they have to play. I just like what I'm seeing. I like the fact that, you know, for at least these last couple of weeks, they have a nice balanced attack. And their pass is always set up the run. Everybody knows that's followed this team. It's not that they couldn't run the ball in the past, because they have a lot more effectively, I think, than people realize at certain times. But it's all going to depend on the opponent. And now in this week against Dallas, I can already tell you this. I'd be shocked if they ran more than they threw unless they were up by 30 points in the second half. So I just get ready for slinging the ball all over the place again against this Cowboy defense.
Oh, it shouldn't be that bad. I mean, they got Dan Gronkowski back. They got Hernandez back. I'm sure he'd be looking to improve. So I'm looking forward to it. How about you?
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be exciting. And, you know, and Dallas poses, I mean, look, it's not, I don't think the Patriots are going to sit here and win by 30 points over, Dallas. Dallas has some weapons. And if the problem is that Tony Romo is such a wild card. I guarantee he'll make some great plays in this game, and he'll absolutely give it up a couple of times. And so it's going to be which one shows up, because they do have some offensive weapons on the Cowboys. I mean, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, and Miles Austin, those are legitimate threats against anybody, any team in the NFL. So the Patriots are going to have to play a great game in this one.
Sure.
I really believe that. I just think that this is going to be, it could be one of those 40-30 games again.
Yeah, maybe we can keep them on. Maybe we can put them on Will Fork Island for a little bit.
I love Will Fork Island. It's a great place to be. Fun for the whole family.
Exactly. All right, Pete.
Thanks a lot.
I appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it. No problem. Thanks. Get in touch with me at Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Let me see if we can get to some of these emails here. Let's see. That one's not for me. That one's not for me either. I'll get to my Facebook stuff. Okay, William says, the reason Brady runs out on the field is he is a star. I don't mean football. I mean he's married to Will from Miss Model. Laugh. But if TMZ can get on the field as he fiddles and diddles, they will. And don't give me that security crap. Ask Kevin how successful they were at keeping Fireman Ed off the field. Well, you addressed that before, Kevin, I think.
Yeah,
right?
I didn't see him this week. That was last year in the playoffs. I got him thrown out.
Yeah, that was a good thing. Gary says, Pete, I'm definitely interested in your thoughts on the Jets and Bills. I thought the win over the Jets was a statement game for the Patriots. I'm really enjoying the chaos in New York and the very quiet, not so sexy Rexy. I guess it's hard to talk about how good your team is and how good you're going to win the Super Bowl when you've just dropped three straight road games and lost to your dreaded rival. Where do you see this going? Will they continue to lose? Will there be a mutiny? Will the offense coordinator be the sacrificial lamb? Will they make the playoffs? No. I think. No, I'll tell you something. Well, you know, you got Schottenheimer there as the offensive coordinator, and I thought his game plan quite honestly sucked. was not very inventive, innovative, whatever you want to use to describe it. I couldn't believe some of the routes that were being run, short routes, you know, third and seven, they get six, five. You know, I thought it was a bad game plan. I still think against the Patriots, you got to try to throw the ball a lot more than run it. And I don't know if it was a pride thing with Rex Ryan that we're going to just shove it down their throats. Well, go ahead. All right. You know, an okay day from Green, 83 yards and 21 carries. So what? And Sanchez didn't turn the ball over, but he threw for 166 yards and did have two touchdowns inside the red zone. But I thought the offensive game plan for the Jets was not good at all. And the Patriots defense certainly attributed to that. I mean, you can't say they didn't, because they did. So as far as will the Jets make the playoffs, I think they're in serious trouble. I reserve judgment on most teams till around week 9 or 10, because lots of things can happen. This is why I'm not going to get too crazy with the Jets yet. They are struggling. There's no doubt about it. And they get very lucky that they have the bye week this week, and then they come back and take on the Dolphins at home, who have no quarterback. So they'll probably, I look for them to get back on track, even though Miami plays them tough. But I look for the Jets probably to get back on track against Miami in a couple of weeks after the bye week, because of just the way the Dolphins are just disastrous right now. The Bills, like I said, I don't know. I'm still not sure what you have in the Bills overall. I've said a million times, I've seen that act before with the Denver Broncos and a few other teams. Start off 6-0, 5-1, 4-2, miss the playoffs. I'm still not sure the Buffalo Bills have what it takes over a 16-game schedule. But we shall see. There's a long way to go. Gary says, do you think the Bills are for real? I just don't see it. If Brady doesn't throw four interceptions, the Pats win that game, and the Bills are 3-2, and nobody's talking about how great they are and how they're leading the division. Do you believe Patrick Fitzryan is a legitimate top 5 to 10 quarterback in the league that will be able to carry his team in the playoffs? I just don't see it, except for the 6-0 Rams in 1999. I've seen teams that started fast but end horribly, just like Denver a couple of years ago. I'm betting they don't make the playoffs. Your thoughts? I'm with you, Gary. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick, not just because he went to Harvard, but I do think he's a smart guy. I'm not sure the Bills have what it takes over 16 games. You know, I tell you one thing. One thing you got to say they do have, though, you can't say they don't have heart, because they definitely have that. They came back twice this year already from three touchdowns down, once to the Raiders, once to the Patriots, and even the Eagles. You know, they didn't quit. So, I mean, and you got to give them some credit for that. So they are showing a lot of fire, moxie, whatever you want to call it. No doubt. But I'm not sure they can sustain it through 16 games. Again, I reserve judgment till week 9 or 10. I mean, there's three teams I know I'll be stunned if they're not in the playoffs. That's the Patriots, Green Bay, and New Orleans. Those, to me, are the three best teams in the league. And none of them are probably going to have a defense that lets up less than 22, 23 points a game when it's all said and done. That doesn't mean you can't win the Super Bowl. Some of these other knucklehead media people who keep telling you that championship defenses, you know, are still out there, like they're going to give up 17, 15, 16 points a game, forget it. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. You're going to have a quarterback in this league to win the big one nowadays. The Dilper years are done. The 2000 Raven-type teams are done. Right now, because everything is cyclical in life and in sports too, and that's the way the trend of the league is right now. Michael on Facebook says, Pete, I stand corrected. You were correct about the Packers. Looking forward to Thanksgiving versus, I'm not sure what he means by correct, because I think I said something on the weekend, I said the Packers would win by, I don't know, 10 to 12 points, whatever it was. Finally, a great game on that day. I think it would be nice if you brought up Senior Rodgers once in a while. I bring him up every week. I think we are witnessing something special here with him. I cannot think of a quarterback who has all of the tools he has, but just my opinion, he completed passes to 12 different receivers. Wow, I love Sundays. And Michael's a huge Green Bay fan. Well, Michael, we've seen Tom Brady do what Aaron Rodgers has done almost his entire career here. And the special year that Rodgers is having through five games, mind you, we've seen that with Tom Brady several years. And there have been plenty of times where Brady has thrown throughout his career to double-digit receivers. So what Aaron Rodgers is doing maybe unique. It's unique maybe for the NFC because they haven't seen a quarterback like him in a long time. But it's certainly not that rare around here. Between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, I think if you go back and look at some of the numbers, you see that they've thrown to double-digit receivers a lot of times. And Tom Brady probably a lot more than Peyton Manning has over his career. So, yes, I think Aaron Rodgers is special. Totally agree. I think he's refreshing to watch and listen to. He and Tom have the best demeanor. Speaking of the press, they don't get too high or too low, and they both understand the game better than anybody in the league right now. And Drew Brees is up there too. But Brady and Rodgers are better. Period. They're better. So, I mean, I know you're a big Packer fan, and Aaron Rodgers, this might be special for you, and it is special for the league, but Tom Brady's done it already several times. Zach says, Pete, I was glad to see us come out with a win, but I am very disappointed with the team's play for the first three quarters. The Branch fumble that was overturned was by the skin of our teeth and was possibly a game-turning decision. The Hernandez drop that Cromartie grabbed in the end zone is not something we'll get away with in the playoffs. Well, how do you know? I'll reserve comments on the defense at this point because we know it's a work in progress. I'm a huge fan of the show and do great work. Just looking for your comments. Well, when people make blanket statements about, yeah, it may work now, but may not work in the playoffs. It's like people saying, oh, they make big plays now, meaning picks and turnovers, but it's not going to work come playoff time. And to that, I say, where do you get that information from? Where's your crystal ball? Because I'd like to get a look at it. And the brand, I mean, when you say the fumble was overturned by the skin of our teeth, I mean, Zach, that stuff, that all evens out over the years. So I don't get carried away. That was the right call. He also goes on to say Hernandez also had a fumble that was recovered by another Patriots receiver. He's a tremendous tight end receiver. He is definitely a player for a gamer for playing so well, dipping around with the knees. Brady, it's obvious how important he is in the Patriots offense and how he opens things up for other players. But I am concerned about him developing a fumbling problem. He also lost a couple of balls in the preseason game this year as well. Hope that is not a trend. Well, I mean, we had one bad game last year too, or a couple where he dropped a couple passes and fumbled once, I think, too, last year. The guy's a tremendous talent, Gary. He's in his second year. He's still learning a lot of things. And, there isn't a team in the NFL that would not kill for an Aaron Hernandez. He is about as unique as they come. Gary goes on to say, I thought the Pats offense tried to do too much in the game. Brady held the ball too long and took sacks instead of throwing the ball out of bounds. Receivers tried to run before they caught the balls. Branch tried to get up and make a play and didn't have the ball secure. And on special teams, Welker did to try to catch a punt on the fly, which almost results in the Jets recovering the ball in Pats territory. Don't beat yourself because the Jets weren't capable of winning without your help. Okay. This is probably how Tom felt because, you know, Tom thought they probably should have put up 40. 30 wasn't enough. I just think, Gary, the whole game, I think they played a damn good football game. That's all I can tell you. I look at the overall body of work in all three phases of the game. Yep, there's stuff that needs to improve upon, as there is in every game. A couple special teams blunders. The points that you brought up are legitimate. But, you know, overall, Brady, 24-33, 321 yards, a touchdown, and a deflected interception, which I don't even count. But, unfortunately, other people do. So, I think you have to be pretty happy about what they did. And this is what I'm talking about. People just don't, no matter what they do, people just don't seem to be satisfied. If it's 38-10, they didn't win the right way. They didn't have enough balanced attack. And if they win a game like this, some people still find ways to, and I'm not saying you can't critique and all that stuff. Cause I mean, you all brought up good points. I'm not saying that. I just think there's still a lot of people that thought the Jets were going to come in here and give this team a game. And like I said, I told you all last week, I said, I thought it would be a comfortable win. I didn't say 45-3. I said, I thought it would be a comfortable win. And to me, it was. I mean, I know that they closed it to 3 and all that stuff, but did you ever really feel that this game was in jeopardy at all? Ever? No. No. You didn't. All right, going to take a quick break, then come back. Again, you can email me, webradio at patriots.com, or Facebook me, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. More of your emails, more phone calls, more about how much we hate the Jets. We'll look ahead to Dallas as well, which I think is going to be just a fantastic game coming up on Sunday here in Foxborough. All coming up as part of the Pete Shepard Show on a Tuesday on Patriots.com.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now, with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights, all right from the palm of your hand.
So, what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening a seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And back here on the Pete Shepherd Show until 6 o'clock right here on Patriots.com. We're here every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. And, of course, you can give me a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's head back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Check in with our pal, Chad in Sweden. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Pete. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Hey, do you mind, leveling up the volume so I can hear you? Because I'm on the balcony right now.
Sure. That's Kevin just did that.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Okay. All right. All set?
That's good.
Great.
Listen, I just want to say, congrats for the Bruins.
Yeah, they did a great job. I mean, and Kevin and his staff or part of the staff did a great job with the Bruins before kickoff here on Sunday. They were here; it was great.
Yeah, and for the Stanley Cup also, it was really thrilling because especially I didn't expect it, and it was really great.
It was.
Anyway.
I wish they had shown up yesterday and played better, but that's going to happen from time to time. And I hate when they play those early games. It's always the day after Thanksgiving. They usually stink. And these matinee games that they play at 1 o'clock during the week or 12 o'clock. They didn't play well yesterday, but they're going to be tough to beat.
Games.
They're going to be right there in the end again.
I wanted to say overall about the Jets. I like that win. It's a good win, and especially, against a division team.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, Loughran did a great job running the ball in the fourth quarter. He was the only back out there, and him and the old line really stepped up, and they really killed the clock well in that Jets D-line.
Yeah, they did a great job. I mean, Ridley played too, but really. Ridley actually had 13 carries. He only had 17 yards, though. So, but you're right, law firm. Ben Jarvis Greenhouse was outstanding.
Yeah, especially, how consistent he was. And again, it's just, you're running the ball. Everybody knows it, but he delivers it. And I think our D-line did a good job, relatively stopping, letting the Jets having a reasonable running game,
mm-hmm.
not over the 100 yards. So that was good. It forced, Sanchez to throw the ball, and they had a very, very poor game on offense regarding passing the ball.
Yeah, I know.
It was completely, it was a flop.
Yeah, well, I said all last week, it was, loss for last year stuck in Brady's craw, no question, but it was also a bad spot for the Jets. Three straight road games.
No question.
They're not playing well. They really shouldn't have beat Dallas. Romo handed them that game. So the Jets have a lot of issues. As I always say, I reserve judgment till week 9 or 10, but the Jets get lucky. They have to get the bye week, and then they get Miami coming up with no quarterback. So they might get back on track for one game, but overall, they got some issues.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question, Pete, and I don't want, to sound dumb, but...
No dumb questions on this show.
No, but, probably, you've been asked that question quite a lot of times, but, last year I watched all the Pats games,
mm-hmm.
Even though it was, like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think, sorry.
That's all right.
the fact that I don't understand why Mayo and the linebackers are like 12 yards away from the line of scrimmage. I don't understand why.
Well, it depends on. I mean, well, Mayo didn't play on Sunday. You know that.
So he I know, but generally.
Well, the game plan against the Raiders, that was the game plan in that particular day because they wanted Campbell to try to beat him. Their focus was to stop McFadden, which they really did. They did a great job. He had one run for 41 yards, and the rest of the time he averaged 2.6 yards a carry or whatever it was. I mean, they really shut him down. So the linebackers, that's the way they wanted to play that game. Now, I know a couple times this year, and against San Diego, you know, the linebackers, their job that day was to stop Antonio Gates, which they've done a great job, and he hasn't played since, believe it or not. Hasn't played since that game. I just think you have to look now against Miami opening night. Certainly there were a couple of issues. I thought Spikes didn't play that well opening night, but I thought Spikes played. I think the linebackers played really well yesterday. Guyton played very well. Spikes played very well. Fletcher was out. I mean, Fletcher. I thought when Haynesworth was out there on the defensive line and Will Fork, I thought they gave the Jets fits trying to run the ball. So, again, it's a work in progress. This is going to be another great test this week because Dallas has, weapons on running the ball and pass and throw. There's no doubt about it. And guys like, anytime you have Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, and Miles Austin, and they have Felix Jones as a running back who's a very good back. They can put up some points. We've seen it. This will be a real good test for them coming up on Sunday.
I agree. I think there's no doubt they're going to be pumped up. I just think, right now Romo, he's in that, more like poor decision-making in late fourth quarter. I just think, it'd be good if we could take advantage of that, even though I don't believe in a shootout. But it'd be great if we could really force him to make big mistakes.
Yeah, the thing with Romo is sometimes you don't even have to force him. He's so stupid. He does it on his own. If you look at some of the interceptions, especially against Detroit a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't like there was like all these sneaky, schemey type of defenses. He just threw bad balls. I mean, he just makes bad decisions. I don't know if it's his vision or what, but he can single-handedly, he looks like one of the great quarterbacks of all time, and then he looks like, just an absolute, stinker. So, but
on quarters on, he looks really
yeah, well, we'll see.
But sometimes he rolls out, you don't know why, and this when he threw that pick to Revis, he rolled out
terrible.
He was almost out of bounds, and I mean that was a 4-year-old kid wouldn't even done that.
No,
but I'm really excited about the Cowboys. It's been a while that we haven't faced them at home.
Yeah, the last time they were here was a few years ago when I think the Patriots won 12-0. I think the Patriots won 12-0 last time they were here was during the Super Bowl. Yeah, Super Bowl year. It was the old Parcells Belichick thing, and Dallas didn't even score in that game. It was 12-0, if I remember correctly.
And last time they played the Cowboys, I think Welker had 12.
He destroyed him. Yeah, they destroyed him. And that was 07. They were trailing in that game, too, at the half, and then they just absolutely came out.
Game.
They just destroyed them down there in Dallas. Yep.
Oh, yeah. It was a tough game, and it'd be funny if he had, he can have another 12 receptions. I'm just amazed by this guy. I can't believe he's an undrafted free agent.
I know, you can make a case right now. You know, Megatron in Detroit gets all the play. Right now, Wes Welker is right up there with the top three best wide receivers in the league. I know there's a big debate going on about difference between slot and wide receivers. The man catches the ball. Yeah, he's a wide receiver in my book.
He's had some downfield. He's had some stretch.
He's unbelievable right now.
99-yard.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, that was pretty much it, and I agree with pretty much everything you say. I don't want to make you look like a religious icon, but I agree with pretty much everything.
Well, I mean, I try to because I watch a lot of film of all these other teams. I watch all the games. I'm not just blowing smoke up Patriot Nation's ass when I say the things
I
say. I think this game obviously is going to be much more challenging for the Patriots this week than last week. But the biggest concern is you got a wild card in Tony Romo. Now, if Tony Romo played normal, this would be one hell of a game coming up. But because you don't know what you're going to get out of him, and because he always seems to screw up, in big games, It could end up making the Patriots could win this game. I could see them winning the game by 21, and I could see them winning the game by 3, all depending on how Romo plays. It's a really tough game to call from, against the point spread type of thing or whatever. I just think the Patriots at home, where they haven't lost in a regular season in forever, and all those factors, and the Romo factor, and the way the Patriots are balanced, have a balanced attack right now, I think it's going to be a deciding factor. But I do think they're going to throw the ball all over the place on Sunday.
Yeah, so. I agree. I'd like, the Patriots have a good edge over the Cowboys at the end of the game, because, when I look up for news on the net, every day, I hear about, Cowboys, what can we do, and is this the end of democracy and all that, and I just think, I'm a bit saturated, so I'd like, I'd like them to lose, something like by 15 points, so that there's an entire debate for for a single month. But anyway, other than that, I want to, give my long distance support to Jared Allen and his Vikings.
Hey, they won finally. They look good on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh no, not even.
Well, they won on Sunday. They look good.
I mean, I just think it's. It's kind of pathetic because you've got Peterson and you've got so many good players.
But you don't have a quarterback, and you cannot win in this league without a quarterback. And there's one thing I agree with some of the mainstream guys. The running backs in this league are a dime a dozen. If you don't have a quarterback, you can't win, which is why the Patriots are great with guys like the Law Firm and Danny Woodhead. I'd rather have that and a great quarterback than Chris Johnson and Adrian Peterson.
Oh, for sure, and I told myself, whatever team you are, do not pick McNabb because he's going to have some problems, and Vikings picked him, and I just feel bad because I just think, Allen is having a tremendous year so far, 8.4, I just think, If he feels sad, he can come over to Foxborough. He would be rightly appreciated.
Yeah.
At least it will shut down, all these people. We don't have a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. We should have taken, drafted, Robert Quinn and all that. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, Chad.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you, my friend.
First time I'm aired on.
All right, thanks, and I hope you call back soon. Thank you so much, my friend. Take care. Yeah. That's Chad in Sweden calling in. Hey, Kev, we got to reset the board in here because I have all these emails and I can't get to them. They're still, I don't know why they're not getting punched up, but it's a weird, goofy type of thing. Anyway, email me at webradio@patriots.com, or you can Facebook me at 508-298, or you can Facebook me at Pete Shepard, and of course, East Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. And of course, it is Dallas Cowboy Week, so everybody is, you're going to see a lot of, you talk about pink hats. We talk about pink hats all the time with the Red Sox. Wait till you see. I mean, most of you know this. The pink hats that come out with the Dallas Cowboys are absolutely pathetic, but they really got nothing. For a 2-2 team I know Bill was saying yesterday or today even they were, they're two plays away from being 4-0. True. They're also two plays away from being 0-4. They really are. So, it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see that. And remember, Dallas is coming off a bye week, so that's big. They've had a lot of time to prepare for the Patriots. But Tony Romo, the Tony Romo factor, because you don't know what kind of game you're going to get out of this guy. And my feeling is it'll be half and half. There's going to come times a week from now, and we're going to be talking about hopefully another Patriots win. I think they will win, but there'll be plays. Tony Romo will make plays on Sunday. He will make plays on Sunday. I have no doubt that he will make plays. Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, Miles Austin, that's a handful for anybody. He'll also screw up and put the Patriots in great field position. And hopefully he does that early. Because, again, you saw the Cowboys against Detroit, 24-point lead, and they can't win. Romo throws three picks that were just, two of them were just really awful. Well, I think it's going to be a fascinating game. Again, I reserve all my picks and scores and all that stuff for Thursday. Let's see what Dallas is practicing with and all that stuff and who's healthy, who the Patriots are going to have and who they're not going to have. We'll know much more. But earlier, as I was talking about this whole concept now that some media people have about how, quote, they're winning the right way. It's just, to me, it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. I mean, I respect their opinion, but I think it's absurd. I respect their right to have an opinion, but I think it's absurd to tell any NFL player that they have won a game the right or wrong way. I think it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And people have all these different theories about how they can't win doing this consistently or that consistently, yet the W's at the end of the game. It's all you should care about. Well, things tighten up in the playoffs and all that stuff. You need to run the ball more. No, certain times, yeah. Certain times, no. You think I give a damn about the weather when it comes to the Patriots? As far as them playing in bad weather? We've seen Brady have great 300-yard passing games and multiple touchdowns in the rain and snow. I'm not worried about that. Not one bit. Well, I got out-coached last year by the Jets in the second half. Okay. Yeah. The Jets did some things to make Brady very frustrated. So if it was so easy to do it that year, how come they couldn't do it on Sunday? Well, Revis is going to cover Welker, so that'll shut everybody down. Really? Well, that didn't happen either. Heard that all last week, too. If you shut Welker down, you can't win. Well, that's not going to happen. They have too many other weapons. So if it was so easy for the Jets to do what they did last year against the Patriots, how come they couldn't get it done this year? Because every year's different, people. Every year is different. All right, quick break. And then more of your phone calls at 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. We're doing it live. Broadcasting show live at our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette. You can, again, email me, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PeteShePPard. I got a story about a high school quarterback I'm going to tell you about when we come back that you are not going to believe this. If you haven't seen it yet, I want to spoil it. And we'll get into more about the Patriots and the Jets and look ahead a little bit to the Dallas Cowboys and some more NFL news to tell you about as well. Again, Pete Shepard Show until 6 p.m. right here on Patriots.com.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
I What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I was looking at the Latin translation from, was it Carmina Burana, right?
Yep.
Burana?
Yep.
And I went through the Latin translation the other night. Very interesting.
And it stood for I Hate the Jets? Is that what it is?
It did not, but it did not, but I'm thinking about changing the tune, you know, changing it, maybe changing the original. But it's funny to see it perform live. I was looking on YouTube, performing live in concert. It's tremendous. It's great stuff. Had lots of requests from people, kept downloading it to their iPhones, all this stuff going on. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick in just a minute from today, the conference call that most of you have not heard. I'm sure none of you have heard, for the most part. And who else we have? We have Billy O'Brien, too. But we'll do Bill, just we'll let you hear Bill in just a couple of minutes. Just a couple of quick notes away from the Patriots real quick. Tim Tebow is going to be starting for the Denver Broncos. He'll start against the Miami Dolphins when they return from the bye week. And, you know, the Broncos are 1-4. Kyle Orton, who I've always kind of had a little bit of an affection for, even in college, just not getting the job done, though. He's thrown 7 picks this year. That's just not getting it done. You know who else has thrown 7 picks this year? The dream team nightmare quarterback, Michael Vick, has thrown 7 interceptions this year. So is Philip Rivers. I've got to tell you that Eagles game, but then it's going to be interesting with this because the game is going to be played. Denver is going to be at Miami. And that day they're honoring the 2009 University of Florida National Championship team at halftime. Oh, the humanity. Unbelievable. And I don't know how this is going to work out in Denver. I just don't, he had 3 fumble snaps, 6 misfires and 10 pass attempts. He ran for a touchdown, threw for another while, again, they were down by 16. The Broncos were, he brought him back and then nearly completed a Hail Mary at the end of the game. But he didn't. And I just don't know what you're going to get out of this guy. I mean, I know Broncos fans All I can tell you is sometimes be careful what you wish for. I'm not sure he's going to be the miracle savior many of you Denver fans think he's going to be. I think he's an exciting, dynamic player at times. Other times he looks awful. So I don't know. I never thought he was going to be – I thought he was a great college quarterback. I never thought he was going to be anything great in the NFL, not by any stretch of the imagination, but we shall see. 2015 Super Bowl is back in Arizona. You know how that turned out last time in 2007. Arizona was okay. One of those, again, spread out. You know, it's too much spread out. And New Orleans is still the best place. And I haven't been to every Super Bowl, but, been to all the Patriot ones. And, you know, Houston was very much spread out. Jacksonville was, a nightmare. Houston was spread out. They didn't do a great job either. You know, they had places run out of food and booze, just like Jacksonville did. San Diego's nice. We were there for Tampa and Oakland. They did a good job. That was kind of around. Leaving the hotels there were not really right around. New Orleans was the best place because you could just walk everywhere. It was great. You didn't even need a cab for the most part. Great time. But back in Phoenix in 2015, I want to know if you guys and girls had heard this story or seen this. This is from Cameron Smith on Yahoo. He writes, it took a week to validate, this is true, this is not made up, a high school quarterback at an obscure Oregon school that competes in the state's smallest classification pulled off a feat which, according to the Portland Oregonian, no one in football history, not the NFL, not the NCAA, not junior college or high school, has ever done before. This kid threw for 11 touchdown passes in a single game. 11. He goes on to say, you read that last sentence correctly. Mackenzie, Oregon, high quarterback, Will Totten, T-O-T-T-E-N, threw for an almost incomprehensible 11 touchdowns during his team's wild 88-80 victory against Lowell, not Mass, Lowell, Oregon. The 11 touchdowns are part of the senior's inspiring 553 yards passing. He added 117 yards and a touchdown on the ground, bringing the total number of scores he had a hand in to 12. Holy crap. In fact, Totten had a hand in all but one of McKenzie's touchdowns from an astounding record-setting day. The 168 points that the two teams combined to score set a state record for most points in a game. I mean, that is unbelievable. Unbelievable. As many prep rally readers were able to point out, former University of Houston quarterback David Klingler, remember him, he passed for 11 touchdowns against Eastern Washington University in an 84-21 victory during the 1990 season. That stands as an NCAA record, even though Eastern Washington plays in the NCAA's football championship subdivision, formerly Division I AA, a lower classification than Houston. It's unknown if anyone at any level has ever accounted for 12 touchdowns in a game, which Totten achieved by passing for 11 and scoring another on the ground. That really is unbelievable. Not a good day for their defense, giving up 80. That'll skew some numbers a little bit. But that is a fascinating story. 11 touchdowns, passing, and one rushing. Mackenzie, Oregon high school quarterback Will Totten. That is just hysterical. Wow. Now, I guarantee you he'll be on some talk shows coming up. If he hasn't been already, he'll be all over the place, you know. But, oh, good for him. Good for him. So it's always like to see stories like that. That really is amazing. Just on 11 touchdowns and rush for another one. Oh, my goodness. All right, 508-298-0398 is the number. We'll get back to the phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline and emails and Facebook stuff, too. But let's, early today, here's what Bill Belichick had to say via conference call.
And on the Cowboys here, got a lot of work to do, but they're a really good team. You know, could easily be 4-0, just a couple plays away. They're really talented. They got a lot of good players in all three phases of the game. You know, they're well coached, and I think Jason's done a good job with the team. You know, Rob with the defense, they're explosive in every area of the game, with a lot of you know, a lot of very talented players. So, you know, we've got a lot of, got our work cut out as far as preparation goes, and just becoming familiar with a team that we don't know very much about. You know, I'm sure they're way ahead of where we're at right now with the time they had last week. So we got to work hard to get caught up on that. But I think they got, you know, three real good coordinators with, you know, Joe DeCamillis on special teams and their offensive and defensive systems and good players to go with it. So they're a tough team to get ready for.
Bill, they've had some injuries they're dealing with, like everyone, but they seem to have gotten a lot of guys back after the bye week. How does that affect scouting and preparation for them, if say you haven't seen, I don't know, Miles Austin or Skandrick or whatever for a couple weeks, and when you're trying to scout them?
Yeah, it makes it a lot tougher. It really does. You of course, those, you know, the players you mentioned are outstanding players. Same thing with, you know, the guys in those guys in the secondary. You know, Newman being out for a couple day games, and Skandrick being out for a couple games, and, you know, Hatcher and so forth. So. Right, we're looking at the more recent games, and you're seeing, you know, Cowboys having to juggle different players in the receiving core, their secondary, on the defensive line, the kicker. So, you know, that's not really where they want to be. But then you've got to dig back into preseason and also into some of their games in 09, especially on offense where their system was the same. I mean, defensively, you can see some of those players in 09 or even a little bit in preseason, but in 09, you know, it was with a different coordinator, so that changes. Like, if you want to go back and look, you know, more at Skandrick as an example, you know, guy who's missed the last three games, and so it puts a lot of, you know, just makes it harder to prepare and just got to go back and, you know, find different games and watch different things to try to encompass all their personnel and what their skills are and their talents.
Bill, you guys have had some pretty good success over the last couple of weeks, at least from the outside anyway, slowing down some good tight ends, Keller, Gates. You have another good one this week to deal with it in Witten. What does he bring to the table that makes him unique, and what do you guys need to do to try and slow him down?
Well, he's outstanding. He's really a guy you've got to be aware of all the time. You know, I think the big thing that separates Witten from a lot of other tight ends is his blocking ability. He's a very good point of attack blocker. They run behind him, so you've got to deal with him in the running game and in the passing game. He's really good in all three areas. He's good on the short routes, and he's a hard guy to tackle. He's good on the intermediate routes, and he can get down the field. You know, he had a huge play there against the Jets opening week, about, you know, 70 yards or whatever it was, where he beat Eric Smith. So, you know, he's a guy that, you know, can pick up the tough yardage on third and short, over the middle, and break a tackle and things like that. He's good on play-action passes and intermediate-type routes, and he can also get down the field. So He's really a complete player. He's a smart guy. They move him around a lot. They put him in motion, put him outside, put him inside, put him in the slot. And they have different personnel groups where they use him in conjunction with other tight ends and other receivers. So it's, you know, it just makes it a little harder to figure out where he is and how to get him. And then, of course, you have to deal with all the other guys too, the running game and, you know, Austin and Dez Bryant and Romo and his scrambling ability and so forth. So, you know, Witten's really an outstanding player. I think he's, you know, one of the best tight ends in the league, no question about it. But he also complements a lot of other players they have, and that the multiples there create a lot of problems.
I know sometimes when you guys are scouting for the draft or whatever, you look at guys coming out of college and sort of try to compare them to, you know, guys in the NFL. Do you look at Gronkowski and say, you know, if everything works out, that he could be like Witten? Would that be a fairish comparison?
I think they're a little different styles, but they're they're both big guys that can block and are productive in the passing game. So there's some similarities there. But, and again, right now we're just really, you know, trying to I don't know if we know Witten well enough to even compare him to Gronkowski. And I think he's obviously got a lot of skills. We got to try to figure out how to deal with him. And that's one of the things we're in the process of doing. But, I think both guys are similar in that they can block. They're productive in the running game and the passing game. You've got tough matchups in both spots. You got to be careful with Witten, who you have on him for the run and the pass. I mean, you might put a guy in there that you think can cover him, but then, can he handle him in the running game? And that's all another story.
Bill, how closely did you guys look at Dez Bryant during the pre-draft process, and what stood out about him for you? Maybe not so much as a player, but as an individual.
We really scout all the players in the draft. Our scouting staff definitely scouts them all. There are certain players that I don't spend too much time on just because of where they're going to be drafted and, what our opportunity is to get them. But we definitely did our work on Bryant. And I think the things that we see, he's a big receiver, strong guy, hard to match up on outside, hard guy to tackle after the catch. He's got, like a lot of these receivers, seems like we see one every week, that have outstanding size, or they're very strong, they've got, great reach, and even if you have them covered, you really don't have them covered because of their length and their ability to either body up the defender or just, out-jump them or out-reach them for the ball. So, he's definitely in that category and a hard guy to tackle when he gets the ball in his hands.
Bill, can you talk about Jermaine Cunningham and his progress at this point? Are you satisfied with what you're seeing out of him? Are there more things that you need to see out of him defensively?
Well, I think one of the things, that Jermaine's had to work through is just the time that he missed in training camp and the preseason games, at the end of preseason. I mean, for a second year player, especially, with him last year really playing outside linebacker and doing that. And then this year we kind of transitioned into, a little bit more of a multiple defensive front. It's been a little bit of an adjustment for him and missing that time didn't help him any, but, he's worked hard and he's really, done a good job to get back on the field and get rehab and get back out there. And I think he's improving. He's got a little better each week. I think he's definitely on the upswing here and a guy that I hope will be able to contribute for us.
Bill, do you know, or what is your history with Jason Garrett? Do you have one? Do you know him at all?
We've talked a few times, met a few times and talked a few times, but we've never worked together on a staff or anything like that, no.
Is there anything about his style or the team he is that he has that indicates anything one way or another about his past, his coaching tree, or or anything like that, or anything that jumps out about the style of his team?
Offensively, there's definitely a lot of similarities to the San Diego offense, the North Turner system. It's like had an influence on what they do. Nor has that on the old Dallas, offensive system over the last, 20 years, whether he's, been there or not. Hudson Houck, the offensive line coach, people like that, there's a lot of history there. So, I think the Dallas offense, going back to Norv and the offense Jimmy had, when he was there, that there's a lot of elements that are still in place today, obviously with different personnel and with a lot of modifications and, Jason's own changes and adjustments to it. But, there's certainly a carryover from a lot of the things that they've done in the past because there are people that are there that, kept that system in place.
Any other questions for Coach? All right. Thank you, Coach.
Okay.
All right, there you have it, Patriots. Head coach Bill Belichick on a conference call earlier today. And you can tell a tremendous amount of respect. It's interesting that he has for the Dallas Cowboys. And you can absolutely say that. He said that about every week. But this game, you should be much more concerned about this game than you have been the last, you know, couple of weeks. There's no question about it. Like I said, with the Cowboys, there's just there's a wild card with Romo. You just don't know. They have the talent, you know, to give the Patriots a battle here. There's no doubt in my mind that they have the talent to do it. But I'm just not sure they're going to in the end. I'm just not sure the makeup of Tony Romo mentally, if he's going to be able to play four quarters of football. He hasn't shown it yet in a lot of his games. He'll make some spectacular plays, and then he just makes you think, what is that? What does he do? But certainly, you know, Rob Brian was with the Browns last year when the Patriots lost, and, you know, again, different players, different circumstances, all that stuff. But you'll hear about some sort of ridiculous blueprint comment about what the Browns did to beat the Patriots and that kind of stuff. And people will forget about the turnovers and other issues and Hillis running crazy that day. It was just one of those fluky type of days. I just don't think you're going to see from the Patriots. Their fluky day happened. That was the four picks against Buffalo. That was it, and they still nearly pulled that out. So we'll see. But, you know, they have Dez Bryant and Jason Witten and Miles Austin, and those three will be a handful for the Patriots secondary. I have no doubt about that, that those guys will get their yardage. But I'm worried. I mean, I'm wondering about, and Witten, I mean, like, you know, the Patriots have done a great job shutting down the tight ends this year, as one of the reporters was asking. And they have, for the most part, done a pretty good job. But Dez Bryant and Miles Austin, that's going to be a handful. I mean, Lee Bodden and McCourty are going to have their hands full this week. No doubt about it. Those guys can score, and they can score quickly. But I'm just looking at the overall team, what Dallas does. But the thing is that they have to worry about is the Patriots offense. So I look. This should be another high-scoring game, in my opinion, against this particular team. But we'll have more on the Dallas Cowboys coming up, you know, tomorrow and Thursday. We're still basically kind of recapping what we saw against the Jets this week, which I said, overall, I think you have to be really happy. There's definitely some progress being made on defense. We take into account, you know, who they played and the Jets struggling offensive ways and all that stuff. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, you got to give them some credit, because if they had given up 400 yards passing and still won the game by 9 to Sanchez, people would be losing their minds again. So, interesting story out of Philadelphia today as well. It's just getting worse and worse for Andy Reid. Eagles coach Andy Reid has engaged in discussions with the team's front office hierarchy on whether to bring in a defensive consultant if the team continues its struggles this week in a key game against the Washington Redskins. The team has a bye week following that game, and Reid is seeking solutions that can help Juan Castillo, the longtime defensive, longtime offensive line coach, who's in his first year as defensive coordinator. Now, this is what I'm talking about. I'm going to read some numbers to you and try to really be objective about it, okay? So if I told you now, some other numbers for the Eagles, quick. 12 turnovers generated by the offense, by the way, Michael Vick and company, which I think might be a bigger problem for the most part. The Eagles are ranked 15th in overall defense, 30th against the run, and tied for 27th in points allowed. Okay? But some of you out there, and this is why I tell you, like, sacks are like stolen bases in a lot of ways. Not every scenario, not every team, but in a lot of cases. This is why, to me, net yardage numbers and sack numbers are highly, highly overrated. Not in every case, but they are highly overrated. The Eagles are tied for second with 16 sacks. It has forced just 5 turnovers, 3 interceptions, and 2 fumbles, but they have 16 sacks. So if you're a Patriot fan, would you rather have 16 sacks? Would that satisfy you? Or, again, with the Eagles, they're 15th ranked in overall defense, 30th against the run, tied for 27th in points allowed, where the Patriots are right around the middle of the pack. So is sacks really all that cracked up? I mean, if it is, you know, sometimes you can get pressure like they did on Sunday, and sacks don't have to be a big part of it. It helps, but they don't have to be a big part of it. Sacks and net yardage numbers are overrated. That doesn't mean pass rush isn't, because pass rush certainly is not overrated on days that they are trying to really get to the quarterback. Not like against Oakland, where they were kind of sitting back a little bit, five linebackers out there at times, just trying to stop McFadden and trying to let Jason Campbell beat him. Didn't work out. So I just ask you, just, you know, look at some of the numbers sometimes. 16 sacks by the Eagles. If the Patriots had 16 sacks, you guys would be losing your mind. Okay? But the Eagles have 16 sacks, and what is that? Where are they? Where are they? Is that championship-driven defense because they have 16 sacks? They're 30th against the run. Again, net yardage. What I care about more is the other number. Tied for 27th in points allowed. That is the number you look at. Points allowed near the bottom of the league for the Eagles, the nightmare team. Just something to ponder. The other connection, too, with Dallas a little bit is Jason Garrett, don't forget, was the quarterback's coach for the Dolphins when Wes Welker was there. So he knows Wes. I mean, he knows what he's capable of. I know he's got a tremendous amount of respect for him. But Wes Welker right now is just about unstoppable. I know Revis, you know, did a, you know, okay job at times. But was there a prettier picture on Sunday than watching Welker than a 73-yard catch, even though he couldn't break away at the end? Which I'm sure he's going to take loads of crap for this week. That was a beautiful thing. That was a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, Jerod Mayo didn't play. I think some people are forgetting that. Mayo didn't play. I think guys like Guyton and Fletcher really stepped it up. They did a nice job. That Spikes played well. I do see a progression with Brandon Spikes. He's definitely playing better and better the last 3 weeks. He's definitely improved. I was a little disappointed the first 2 weeks, and I said so. I think but I said it was too early to, you know, go crazy about it. I think he's really, really starting to get it. I think he's done a great job the last 3 weeks. I really do. Patriots also re-signed Dan Gronkowski today, in case you missed that. They did release offensive lineman Thomas Welch. So he's gone. And also wanted to say a quick thing because, you know, over the years, everybody, we've all goofed on Al Davis to an extent, this, that, and the other thing. But I think anybody who's covered the NFL in any way, shape, or form and knows the history of the NFL knows how much Al Davis meant. The Patriots wouldn't be here without Al Davis. I'll tell you that right now. Wouldn't be here. A lot of the AFL teams have Al Davis to thank for. He was definitely a pioneer in so many ways. I'm not going to go give you a history lesson because you can look it up. And you know, Brockton Bourne and Just Win Baby and all that Raider stuff. And I know there's some bad history between the Patriots and them and all that stuff. But I think there's always been a tremendous amount of respect for Al Davis. Now, did he say some kooky, crazy things over the last decade? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But what he did for the National Football League and responsible for AFL-NFL merger in 1970, all that stuff, I mean, that's just the list is endless as accomplishments. So rest in peace, Al Davis. You will be missed, and you were, you know, you were... You were something else. I mean, you were something else. It was he's as big an icon for any institution in sports as I've ever seen. So he'll be missed. And I know the Kraft family is with the respect, tremendous amount of respect they had for him. I know when the Patriots were out there, they had a moment of silence for Myra Kraft out there, which is a very classy thing for Al Davis and the Raiders to do. And he's just widely respected. I know it got a little kooky there down the stretch the last 5-10 years, but especially the last 5. He really became a caricature of himself, but he was a great pioneer for the National Football League. 508-298-0398. That is the number here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Also get a hold of me through the webmail radio at web radio at patriots.com. And you can Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. That is how you get a hold of me. I've gone through a lot of these Facebook messages already. Let's see if there's something I can't. Angela says, hey, Pete, I've been listening to your shows online. It's awesome. Question for you. How does the Ocho No-No experiment last 4 games he still lost? well... I think he's looked better. He just is not. That's a couple nice catches.
You know what's ironic, Pete, is I think the times he's flashed to me when I watch this team has been in like kind of the hurry up tempo offense where he doesn't have to think about it.
Yeah,
and you just line up, no huddle, and he goes and he makes a play.
Which is funny because because during week one, that's what people were complaining about why he wasn't in because he couldn't pick it up. I think you're right. That's something to look forward. That's a good sign. He also made that was a nice catch he made on the side. He made three catches. I mean, it's. He's one of those guys that just doesn't matter. He's not going to be the deciding factor. And I still think there's a long way to go with this guy. There is going to be a game where he's going to bust out a little bit. And I don't mean go for 200 yards like Welker has. But there's going to be a game where I think he's going to catch two or three touchdowns. I think it's coming. I don't know when it's going to happen. I can't make that prediction. But there's going to be a game where Ocho Cinco is going to be one of the main reasons why this team wins. I just think he's too talented. I think you have to just look at the direction some of these games are going. And Welker right now is just basically uncoverable. Gronkowski, Hernandez's presence alone.
So for all intents and purposes, Pete, we played five games.
Yeah.
He's made nine catches, so that's almost two catches a game, give or take a decimal point, right?
Yep.
But the one plus is he's averaging over 15 yards a catch, which I think kind of sneaks up on people.
Yeah, you're right.
He's averaging 15.1 yards a catch.
That's a great point. I think people, again, sort of get caught up. They want to see him score touchdowns. They want to see that. They want to see that Randy Moss, go deep, schoolyard.
So when he does make a catch, Pete, it's a decent chunk of yardage he's biting off here.
It is. And people can remember the drop, which was horrible a couple of weeks ago. But I do think he's getting better. And Kevin, that's a great point you brought up about being in the hurry-up offense. And it can only get better. It can't get any worse. I'm not saying it's been horrible because it hasn't. It just hasn't been the kind of numbers you're used to seeing. But I didn't expect those kind of numbers on this team. Did I think they'd be a little bit better? Yeah, but I don't know how much better I thought they'd be. Not with Hernandez and Gronkowski, and some of the matchups they've had to go up against so far. Now this week against Dallas may be a little different. Maybe totally different. The problem is you can say whatever you want about Dallas' defense and they're not that great against the pass and they are against the run. All that stuff irrelevant to me. The Patriots are so unique in the way their offense is with the tight ends, with the way they can run the ball. If you don't pay attention to it, with how the pass sets up the run, you take Welker out. You got two other tight ends and two other damn pretty good receivers to worry about. Deion Branch still and Ocho. If you're not careful. Even Taylor Price dressed on Sunday. Didn't play, but he dressed. That's I would love to be. He's one guy I would love to be able to watch him practice. I wish we could just get more of a feel of what is going on with him. Because he's one of those guys that you just read about has all this talent, this, that, and his speed, and there's got to be a reason why he's not playing. It's a tough depth chart to crack, to be honest with you. I mean, Edelman, who was out on Sunday, but, Edelman, Welker, Branch, Ocho, and Slater, those guys are all, that's a tough lineup to crack. So it might just be a numbers game with him. Eventually he might get his chance. But I'm not giving up on Chad yet. I'm not ready to say it's a failure or a bust or anything like that. I think it's way, way too early to speaking in those kind of absolutes that people get caught up in. If this was another team where he was, if he was like the featured wide receiver on a different type of a team, maybe you could say something like that. If he was like on a Cleveland or something, maybe, or,
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So hypothetically, we're through five games now. If you hit the fast forward button and you go to the end of the season and say Ocho hasn't had one of those, real good breakout games.
Yep.
And maybe he finishes with something like, I don't know, maybe under 50 catches, maybe between 40 and 50 catches.
Yep.
Maybe, I don't know, let's say 500 yards, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, very minimal numbers.
Yeah.
Do you think he's on this team next year?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I never try to assume what the Patriots are trying to do for the year. I know. I think there's just way too much football left. What if he has a mediocre year and then busts it out in the playoffs?
That's true.
What if all of a sudden what if he's a Super Bowl MVP?
Because what I was thinking just now is for some reason, what if the light switch never goes on this year, and what if all of a sudden he comes back next year and lights the world on fire? Who knows?
Yeah.
You kind of
like
know.
Maybe like Kyle Crawford.
And my you know curious self was like, oh, would he even get the chance? And I was just kind of like, you know, people are already ready to run him out of town, so I don't know if he would get the chance.
People are so, it's just like when I talk about this team, they want flash over substance all the time. Sometimes it's a work in progress. Chad Ochocinco on this team is a work in progress, just like some of the defensive guys. I know it's frustrating at times. Trust me, you know I get frustrated. I'm not so much concerned. Like Ken was talking, I'm not concerned about the number of catches he gets per game because I don't expect him to get more than three or four attempts, thrown at him. I really don't. But my concern is like when he drops that touchdown pass, that kind of stuff bothers me. And hopefully that won't be happening too, frequently. So there's just a lot of weapons on the scene. What's Chad Ochocinco supposed to average on this team with this offense? Welker, Hernandez, Gronkowski, Deion Branch. You know, not to mention, you know, at times, you know, Woodhead and Ben Jarvis, some of the screens that they do, all that stuff. I mean, what's he supposed to average? Has he underachieved so far? Yeah. That's fair. I mean, he's underachieved, but I'm not sure by as much as people think. You know, I know you guys want to score a bunch of touchdowns with him, and you want that Randy Moss bling factor where he just races down the field like in schoolyard and scores touchdowns. But I think that day will come for him. I think that day will come. I'm going to take one more quick break, and then when we come back, maybe we'll hear from Billy O'Brien as well, Patriots offensive coordinator. You guys don't hear from him much, so we'll get let you know what he had to say. Again, 508-298-0398. And that's the number on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, or Facebook me, PETESHEPPARD. And we are broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Final segment of the Pete Shepard Show for Tuesday, up next on patriots.com.
If you didn't know, autotrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at autotrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. Autotrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So, what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Bats interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40.
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10. Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sported 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And back here, final segment of the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. We're broadcasting live at our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, and still have time to call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. So just, again, to reiterate my points, it's punched up the NFL total defensive stuff. As far as points allowed go, and again, Baltimore's only played four games. They're 14.2. But you have to look at, you know, it looks impressive after four games, 14.2. Look at who they played. The Steelers opening day, which was ridiculous. The Jets, that game was just an absolute debacle. So, again, numbers that can be skewed. 14.2 points per game, that's not going to last. But certainly they are one of the better teams in the NFL. They might be the fourth best team, fourth or fifth. Okay? Still, you know, is it, if you think that defense is going to hold there at 14.2 the rest of the year, you're crazy. San Francisco, they're going anywhere. They're giving up 15.6. They're second points allowed. I doubt it. The Redskins at 15.8. I mean, I know they're playing okay, but I mean, you know, that's just Pittsburgh. 1, 2, fourth best, 17.8 points a game. Wait till the Patriots get a hold of them in a couple of weeks. Then you got Detroit at 17.8. Again, look at who they have played. And the offense that they've gone up against. Wait till they play Green Bay on Thanksgiving Day. See if they have 17.8 points that game on defense. Double it for the Packers in that one. Mark my words. Double it. Cincinnati, 18.8 points a game. You think they're better than the Patriots? Come on. Tennessee, 18.8 points a game. Houston, then you got Minnesota, 21.2 points a game. San Diego, 21.8. Green Bay, 22.2. Jacksonville, 23. Cleveland, 23.2. And the Patriots at 23.8. So technically, the Packers have given up points per game 1.4 less a game than the Patriots. 1.4. Buffalo's giving up more points than the Patriots. Arizona, Seattle, Chicago, both New York teams, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Carolina, Oakland. They've all given up more points than the Patriots. Kind of deflates some of the arguments out there, in my opinion. You want to throw net yardage at me? I'll throw points allowed back at you. I'll take the points allowed. I'll take the points allowed. There's some other interesting stats that... Well, you got to run the ball, man. Run! Okay. Here's your leading rushers. McFadden, we know what he didn't do against the Patriots. Here's your leading rusher. Adrian Peterson, how's that working out in Minnesota, even though they finally won a game? All right, Freddie Jackson with Buffalo. Okay, so far, complimentary, good. You know, he's having a nice year. They're off to a decent start. Fourth in the league, Maurice Jones-Drew. Where the hell are the Jacksonville going? Nowhere. And then you got McCoy from Philadelphia, 443. Where the hell are they going? They're going nowhere right now. They need psychologists coming on defense. Quarterback doesn't really apply. We know Brady's one, Breeze, Rodgers, Newton, Rivers. Not so much. Wide receivers, really not big deal. Welker leading everybody. Smith from Carolina, Wallace at Pittsburgh, Graham and Johnson. No problem. Sacks, okay? Sacks. Let's see. Jared Allen leading the league. 8.5 sacks a game. Or with 8, not a game, 8.5 sacks. Babin from Philadelphia with 7, along with Jean-Pierre Paul of the Giants with 7. West Philadelphia and the Giants going anywhere anytime soon? I don't think so. Williams with Houston has 5, but he's out for the year. And Miller for Denver. The Broncos going with 5. So just sometimes just don't get sack happy and net yardage happy on me. Because basically the names I just read off, none of those guys are going to be in the playoff. Maybe Mario's not going to be. He's out for the year. So none of those guys, none of them may be in the playoffs. None of them. Just something to think about. I'm not saying they're not important and all that stuff. I just don't get crazy. Those are two stats in sports I don't get nuts about are sacks, 3 actually. Sacks, net yardage, and stolen bases in baseball. Never have, never will. So I can counter those numbers with my own. 508-298-0390 is the number on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. And I still think, Kevin, we're having problems with the web radio today, the webmail today. I don't know why, but if you've sent web radio today at patriots.com and I haven't gotten to it, something funky is going on with the screen. I don't know what it is, but I apologize. But I have read all my Facebook stuff, but still have time. A couple more minutes here on the Pete Shepherd Show. You see, Kevin, it says here I have 16 inboxes on my thing. But
16 emails?
Yeah. I'll
check on mine because I did refresh it. Hang on.
Yeah, I mean, I refreshed it. I don't know what the deal is. No, I know a lot of regulars that email usually, and for some reason they are not getting punched up on my screen today. I will figure it out. If not, I will definitely read them tomorrow. Trust me. The Patriots beat the Jets 30-21. Patriots 4-1. Jets are 2-3. They get a bye week before they get Miami with God only knows who'll be a quarterback for them when they play them. Tebow's going to be starting for Denver against Miami. In Miami, where they're going to honor the 2009 National Championship Florida Gator team. The Eagles are looking for defensive consultants because Castillo can't, you know, I still think the offense is the bigger problem over there, maybe, because Michael Vick and company just put them in such a bad position for the nightmare squad that is the Philadelphia Eagles. I just find it so amusing. So amusing. Little catchy phrases and nicknames, and then all of a sudden, you know, you look up and your team's 1-4, 1-3, whatever. It's just, what a joke. But the bottom line is the Patriots win. They beat the Jets today, 30-21, or yesterday, 2 days ago, on Sunday, 30-21. A nice balanced attack. And I'm tired of people talking about they didn't win the right way, did this, did that, because they had more of a balanced attack the last couple of weeks. That's somehow some better way to win. It's not. The better way to win is just to win. And there'll be games sometimes where they'll be able to run the clock out, and there'll be other times where the game plan won't be that way. They'll still have to throw the ball, even late. Caesar in California says, I think the Patriots did a good job on Sunday. They were able to get off the field third and short on numerous occasions, although I don't know really know whether the Pats D was that good or the Jets offense is that bad. What do you think? I think it's a combination of both. I hate to sound cliche-ish, but yeah. But the Jets were terrible on third downs. 3 of 11, 27%. Patriots were 50%, 7 of 14, I believe. I just thought it was a bad game plan by Schottenheimer on offense for the Jets. And the Patriots, like I said, that game stuck in their craw. And the score wasn't even as close as that game indicated. It was 30-21. 9 points seems like it was kind of respectable. They could have really gotten that Hernandez penalty. That game could have got ugly really quickly. That could have been 38-21. It could have been 44-21. Could have got ugly quickly. Hi, Pete and Kevin. This is from Gene in Daytona. Why do the refs let Revis hang on to the receiver? I saw Revis covering Welker with one hand always grabbing Wes's shirt so we could stay with him. How do you think Bill Polian would have reacted to that type of coverage? Do you think that the player status affects on how a ref makes a call? It sure looks like that to me. Yeah, I know. If you watch a lot of teams and you watch a lot of players, you'll see there's a lot more grabbing that goes on than you probably realize. But, yeah, there are a couple of obvious ones. But you know what? Wes Welker wasn't complaining about it. Did you ever see Wes Welker start throwing nutties about throw the flag and some of these other guys who dance around and scream and yell about every little thing? You know, it seems like nobody can complete a pass anymore with the NFL without if an incomplete pass without a flag being thrown. Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Pete, since everything is pretty hunky-dory in Pats land, I wonder what's going to happen with Kevin Fox's return. Do you think they're ever going to activate him? Also, hey, I thought this was the Pete Shepherd Show, not the Kevin Talks to Pete Show. Just kidding, Kevin. You're all right. Ba-dum-bum. Yeah, well, when Kevin Falk does come back, it is going to be interesting. Like I said, I'm not completely 100% sure that he'll play this year on this team. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. That's going to be an interesting decision what happens when he does. I mean, Kevin Falk's great, been the heart and soul, one of the pieces of the heart and soul of this team for a long time. All right, that's going to do it for our first day of the week here on the Pete Shepherd Show. And thanks to everybody who emailed and called. Sorry about having the problems with some of the email screens. We'll correct that for tomorrow. Because for some reason, I couldn't get them. But anyway, appreciate all the phone calls. And appreciate all the Facebook stuff. Tomorrow, we'll be back. 4 o'clock right here on Patriots.com. We do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. And we're trying to get someone from Texas tomorrow.
Hopefully Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
Nice.
So he's the Cowboys beat writer, so I'm talking to him through email right now.
Sounds good. We will look forward to that. Meanwhile, have a great and safe rest of your Tuesday night. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 right here on Patriots.com. Bye-bye.